Oh, why don't you give Lawrence the extras, and he can hand anybody that comes in the back there one. On that handout sheet, I don't know if this was Linda. Linda, was this you? There was two people that helped me scan some old things that I had typed out. And this is the Old Testament one that I handed out was one of those, and this was one. And I know you did that booklet on parenting, right? Yeah. But anyhow, if you notice the title on that, you got a K on Christ. I didn't notice this till after I printed 50 of them, so I'm figuring I'm not wasting the paper. And then completion is dealt with an N. Those are probably scanning errors, because I don't make those mistakes when I type. No, but I do believe this is so old that didn't get past me this long. That is, so I have a bunch of things that I had typed years ago before computers came out, and then so anyhow, they're good study materials, and especially on this subject here. Actually, this paper was written more as part of a New Testament survey type of thing, but the word completion on that, if it was spelled correctly, implies the canon, and that's what we're studying. We're studying the Bible, but part of the Bible is how do we know that the canon we have, the scriptures, the books that make up the Bible, are the right books, that there is none missing, and that there is none in there that shouldn't be in there. It's funny, because if you go through church history, not only did they recognize the scriptures, but there were battles over certain ones. You know the story of Martin Luther when he understood justification by faith. He could not accept the book of James, and because he realized how contradictory James writes compared to what he learned in the book of Romans. He just didn't learn to rightly divide. But at the same time, when he made his translation, the book of James is there, so he didn't get rid of it. He just wanted to get rid of it. And there's a lot of times people want to get rid of verses and books and things like that. But anyhow, so we're studying the canon of Scripture. We've spent a couple weeks looking at the 39 books of the Old Testament and how we can be absolutely sure the 39 books in our Bible are the 39 books that belong there, that there's not a set of Apocrypha that belong in there, and there's not something missing that belongs in there. So we gave the evidence for that. And really, when I say you could talk, you know, if you wanted to talk history, then it's just a bunch of arguments of men and facts, whether history even records things properly, I doubt. But anyhow, the testimony of that is that two things is that God intended us to give us a Bible. So if he intended to do it, would he fail? And then how do we know what we have is what we should have as far as the Old Testament? Well, the testimony of Jesus, the Bible says, is the spirit of prophecy. And the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ talked about the Bible in his day over and over again, emphasizing that it was the authority. And then he would, even at the end when he rose from the dead, he talked about how he went through all the scriptures and declared unto them the things that were written about him. And so he believed that the Old Testament canon as it existed in his day was all the scripture. And that matches the same canon we have. The books are, you know, like First and Second Samuel, First and Kings, First and Chronicles used to all be 1, 2, and 3 books, where we have 6 books. So the number is different, but the same books are there. So anyhow, we've spent those weeks. So we still have to look at the New Testament canon. How do we know then that the New Testament, made up of 27 books, is all the books of the New Testament that we need? And we touched on some of these things. Go take your Bible, turn to John chapter, 13. We touched on some of these things when we just talked about the canon, because there's a sense in which you take the whole canon, which would be all 66 books of the Bible. And then we specifically looked at Old Testament, and now we're specifically looking at New Testament. Now, this section of John is an interesting section. I know that years ago, especially when you're young and you're just reading the Bible through and somewhat surface reading, in the sense that you're just learning about the Bible, the things that the Lord said. But there comes a time in maturity that you have to stop and look at, why is he saying this? Why is this here now? And we're about to look at some things that are in chapters 14, 15, and 16 of the book of John. Those three chapters go together because he keeps emphasizing the coming of the Holy Spirit and the importance of the coming of the Holy Spirit. I start you back in chapter 13 because I want you to show you why he's starting to talk about this. In chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." The supper being ended, and the devil entered into Judas and so forth. So you realize everything said there in 13, what's on the Lord's mind. He knows his hour's coming. He's going to go to the cross and die, and then he's going to be raised and going to go back into heaven. And he loved his own. So he's thinking about his departure and them being left without him. That's on his mind even in chapter 13. So when you come over to chapter 14, verse 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am..." I always emphasize, if he's come back, where is he? Everyone looks at that and says that everyone's going to go to heaven. But if he comes back, he's not in heaven. "That where I am, he's back. There you may be also." He's come back to set up his kingdom. "And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." But the point of that chapter is he starts talking about him going away and coming back. And he's preparing them for when he goes away. And now we get into those verses about the Holy Spirit. Interesting verse 12. He hadn't started, he's explaining him being the way. And then verse 12 of chapter 14, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." Now that's strange by itself. And certainly when we talk about surface reading, someone reading the Bible says, "Oh, look at that, I'm going to do miracles like Jesus did." And they all get that idea. In this verse, what's interesting, he just talks about them that believe on me. They're going to do the works that he did. Now, one of the things that you have to understand is, and that's what the difference between surface reading and study, why did he do the things that he did? Did he, you know, come to show people all the miracles he could do? Or did he come to fulfill the things that were in the Old Testament? Did he come as the fulfillment and demonstrate through his miracles that he was indeed the Messiah and that the kingdom of heaven indeed was at hand? That's why every time you read about they preach the gospel of the kingdom, it says, "Preach the gospel of the kingdom and heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." Well, why is that? Well, because that's demonstrating the kingdom, that their word is true. So the miracles did two things. It verified the person was speaking the word of God and the message that the person was preaching about that kingdom coming and what life was going to be like in the kingdom. They got a taste, as Hebrews says, of the world to come. So, but see, in this verse, they're going to do those things too. It says, "Greater works than I've done. I say unto you that he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." So he's going to go away. Well, what? Follow the context. Verse 13. "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments." Now, if you just stop there, not only are you going to do all the miracles, you can just name anything. Name it and claim it. I mean, that's the verse, right? It's real clear there. Now, verse 13, most people, the ye there, forget who he's talking to. If he's at that supper in that upper room, he's not talking to every person that ever followed him. He's definitely talking to the apostles. But even that, I mean, Peter said a lot of dumb things in his life, didn't he? Now he's going to have the power that whatever he says, it's going to be. Well, not really. Verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So those promises are going to be the promise as a result of the Holy Spirit. When that Holy Spirit comes and works in Peter, Peter's not going to say wrong things. The Holy Spirit is going to speak. Notice the expression in verse 17. Even the Spirit of what? Truth. The Holy Spirit is going to come, and he's called the Spirit of Truth because the Lord has something in mind. These people are going to do miracles, and they're going to pray things, and they're going to say things. But when they do that, it's not going to be them. It's going to be the Holy Spirit. Verse 18 is interesting. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Well, you could take that as the second coming of Christ. Or he's using the word comfort, and he's going to send another comforter in verse 16. And when that other comforter comes, that's the Lord with them. If you look down in verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, how is Jesus Christ and God the Father going to make their abode in a believer? The Holy Spirit's coming. The great three in one. We just sung the song. By the presence of the Holy Spirit, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are in that person because of the Spirit of God's going to come and indwell them. So you got these statements about the Spirit of God coming. And then, we're going to come back to this. So jump all the way over to chapter 16. I'll break in at verse 6. It says, because I have said these things, ye sorrow, sorrow hath filled your hearts. So, they're understanding he's going away. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for me that I go, expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, I got all kinds of, like I say, surface reading. Everyone says this. You know, they read that verse and the Holy Spirit, someone's under conviction, the Holy Spirit's working on them. How does the Holy Spirit convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment? Holy Spirit's not coming on the world. Verse 7, he's going to come to them. And then the whole world's going to get convicted. What happened when the Holy Spirit came on them? Remember the day of Pentecost? And the people were pricked in their hearts because they realized their unrighteousness and the judgment that was going to come, that they crucified the Messiah. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's going to come on these guys, and through the preaching of these guys, the world's going to go through a conviction. They're going to preach. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Now that's an interesting statement there. The Lord has taught 3.5 years, and he pulled out these disciples, and he's trained them, and they had some concentrated teaching. And he says, I'm not done yet. I got a whole bunch of stuff I got to tell you yet, but you're not able at this point to take it. They're going to need some spiritual growth, maybe some spiritual enlightenment to be able to receive the further truth that he has for them. So he says in verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, there it is again, is come, he will guide you into some truth. All truth. Now, how do you know the canon of the New Testament is complete? Can any Pentecostal man get up today and give you truth that God hasn't already revealed to Peter, James, John, the other apostles? Now, see, Pastor Jordan makes a statement, and it becomes real, real clear when you start talking about the canon of Scripture, that he calls it the cult of continuous revelation. That is a cult. When someone stands up and starts proclaiming, they're prophesying, and they're saying, that's cultic. Because that's saying that the scripture is not complete and that that verse is not true. Because these guys can say stuff that Peter and them never heard of before. But Peter and them are being told that the Holy Spirit is going to come and guide them into all truth. Now, all is not partial. That's why I read it that way. All is all truth. Howbeit when he's got many more things to say, so they don't have all truth yet, right? But after the Holy Spirit comes, before the Holy Spirit is done working in those men, they're going to have all the truth. And then when those men write it down, we got all the truth. It's called all scripture. It's called rightly dividing the word of truth. Anyhow, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. A little while, and you see me not again. A little while, and you see me, because I go to my Father. And then the disciples say, what is it? You keep talking about going away. What is it? But that verse 7 there is expedient that I go away. Because there's more things for them to learn. They can't learn them now. But when the Spirit of truth has come, they're going to be able to learn all the truth, the rest that Jesus Christ had taught. This is, look at Luke chapter 1. Get Luke 1 and Acts chapter 1. We always call it like Acts is Luke book 2. Luke wrote both of these, and it's real obvious when you compare the introduction of both books that he did. But I want you to look at this introduction, not so much in the sense that that Luke wrote both the books, but what the subject matter of both the books are about. Luke chapter 1, verse 1, it says, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us. Now Luke got his information from the apostles that were with the Lord, which from the beginning, in fact, just remember how he got it, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good unto me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things whereunto thou hast been instructed. So Luke's going to write the things that Jesus Christ revealed to his apostles that are absolutely true when they're in his earthly ministry. And so Luke, having perfect knowledge of what that is, having received it of those men who were eyewitnesses of the Lord, can write it down and put it down for Theophilus to study. Acts chapter 1. Verse 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Now, this time, you're not just getting the fact that he gave a treatise, but now he wrote what the first book that he wrote was about. When he wrote the book of Luke, what he gave to Theophilus was all that Jesus began to both to do and to teach. Did Jesus finish? Now, if you begin something, that's just the start, right? And that's what the Lord just told the apostles. I have many more things to say to you. I'm just beginning. You can't receive them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, then the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. So the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he hath chosen, to whom he showed himself alive after many after his passion by many infallible proofs, and so forth. So I take the fact that the former treatise is what Jesus began to do and to teach, and then after that, he, through the Holy Ghost, gave a commandments to the apostles. So this is what Jesus Christ finished. He began, and now he finished by giving the Holy Spirit to the apostles of what Jesus Christ began to do and to teach. And because we've read that part in John, we know that they're going to be guided into all truth before they die. And so the book of Acts is what Jesus Christ continues to do. That's extremely important because, well, now you know when you study John 14, 15, and 16, don't just look at there and say, oh, these are all my blessings, this is what God's going to do with me. Understand the Lord had something in mind, how he was going to bring things to light, truths that he hadn't yet revealed, and he's going to do it through his apostles after he's gone by the Holy Spirit. Then, well, come over to Hebrews chapter 2. Well, chapter 1 first. I'll emphasize this chapter 1 later again because that's worth repeating twice anyhow, but it's more like it'll be another summary at the end of all things. But notice how Hebrews, now the Holy Spirit has come, and the New Testament writers are writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It says in Hebrews 1:1, God, who at sundries times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now that's the Old Testament, right? Hath in these last days, well, Peter stood up in Acts 2 and said the whole coming of the Holy Spirit began the last days. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. When the Holy Spirit comes, he's not going to speak of himself, but whatsoever the Lord Jesus Christ tells the Spirit is what the Spirit's going to reveal. He's going to reveal of Christ. And so when these writers are receiving revelation from the Holy Spirit, who's speaking? It's Jesus Christ. Now, speaking through the Holy Spirit out of the apostles' mouths. That's what a prophet is. But that's when you talk about the Hebrew writer, it didn't say, in these last days has spoken to us through the apostles. He says, spoken to us by his Son. And that's not just the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Look over in chapter 2, verse 1. He said, therefore, we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the beginning, well, that's what Luke wrote. That's the first book of Luke, right? What Jesus began to do and to teach, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Well, that's Acts, because now the people who are eyewitnesses are going to speak. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Those gifts of the Holy Ghost are witnesses of the fact that these men who testified after Jesus Christ are still talking about the things that Jesus Christ began to teach. And it says, according to his own will, unto the angels hath he not put in subject the world to come whereof we speak. So, verse 4, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and diverse gifts of the diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. That's confirming the word that the others are teaching that Jesus Christ continued to teach now through them. So the point is if everything in the Old Testament was sure and that canon's closed and absolutely been fulfilled, we better not neglect what Jesus Christ began to teach and what continued to teach through those apostles when he gave them the same signs and wonders, the miracles he did, they did also, confirming that they're still speaking the things that he promised. Now, watch this. Come over to chapter 12. That's that verse 4 of chapter 2 of Hebrews is what Luke is referring to when he says, received of them. Luke got his information from Peter and Paul and Mark and all kinds of other people he traveled with. Hebrews 12:25. It says, now we already saw the warning about how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation that began to be spoken by the Lord was spoken by the apostles afterwards. So verse 25 says, "See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from where? Heaven." Who's speaking from heaven? The Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how's he speaking from heaven? Through his apostles. Put the Holy Spirit in them. Didn't leave them comfortless. He came unto them in the person of the Holy Spirit. And he's continuing to teach now through the apostles. And when they go out and teach, it's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're not right into the canon of Scripture, but you know before we're done here that we have writers who wrote either because of their connection to Peter and the apostles who they followed and learned these things from, or the apostles themselves turned around and wrote these things, that they were guided into all truth. And is it because God only wanted them to have the truth? And of course not. We know that God intended them to write those things down so that truth would be preserved. That's exactly what he did in the Old Testament. That's exactly what he's going to do with the writing of the New Testament. But we'll get there. But the point is that they are, this is how the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ had in mind all the time that when I depart, I'm going to have to send the Holy Spirit and have to write the New Testament. That's real clear what he is doing and what he is preparing in his absence, what people are going to have. And the main focus of the Holy Spirit and the main focus of all those miraculous gifts is Jesus Christ speaking and confirming his word. And then later in our study, we'll realize why it is that signs and miracles ended today, because the scriptures are complete. But we'll actually look at the verses that say that. Go back now to John chapter 14. I stopped reading there a moment ago because I wanted to emphasize this now. Trying to figure out where to break in. Let's just jump into verse 23. Jesus, he's answering a question. I'm just jumping in just to get going here. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." There we go. That's where I start in verse 24. "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Big debates go on, even like, a year or so ago, where all the scholars got together to find out what did Jesus really teach? Because if you take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they see different discrepancies, either because of time or because of different things they taught, and because they don't realize what the Bible is, the inspired Word of God, that they thought they needed to correct and actually get rid of some things that Jesus really didn't say. By the time they're done, there's about four sayings that Jesus really said, and everything else is just man-made, because they don't believe that God inspired the Bible. And after all, these guys, you know, the Lord came, and then you know, their lives are in jeopardy because Christianity is being threatened, so these guys have to make up some stories and write in the Bible to win people back to Jesus Christ. That's how the scholars think about. They don't think anything real about who Jesus Christ was, the Holy Spirit coming, and the authority the 12 apostles had. And so they just look at them as men scrambling to have a following, and so they write the things they do, and they can't remember too well, so Matthew will write one thing, and Luke will write something else, and it won't exactly agree, but they just did the best they can in their memory. Well, if they read a verse like this and believe it, that the Lord is talking about, well, you got it in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, so that we already talked about all truth, they're going to be brought into the full revelation, but also says, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. When they hear the Lord is taught, they didn't understand half of what he was teaching while he was teaching it. They couldn't even understand it. He couldn't receive it now. The other things he's going to add. But when the Comforter comes, he's going to give them all truth. But he's not just going to give them all truth. He's going to bring everything back to their remembrance. All the things the Lord taught them, said, and done. So that when they write it down, it's not just their memory and their human mind writing those things down. It's the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that's what we're talking about here. These words are the words of God the Father. And that these men, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit is going to remind them all those details they couldn't comprehend. And that's how we got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those men wrote, and they did it after the book of Acts came. They didn't write it before the book of Acts. They wrote it after the book of Acts. The first thing that happens in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit comes, demonstrating he can speak out of people. The first thing he does is start speaking out of their mouth. And along the process of time, no matter how much longer it is, those guys will write about those things to come. So they're going to be guided into all truth, show you things to come. One last verse, and then we'll pick it up again next week. Chapter 16. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, and whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Right. One's the memory, that's time past, right? Things to come. Hebrews through Revelation. These are the writers of the books of Hebrews through Revelation. And we know the book of Revelation is full of things to come. And the Holy Spirit, when he comes, not going to give you a memory, he's going to show you things to come. So you got time past and ages to come. What about the present time? I bet you can figure that out before next week, can't you? What's the present time? Paul's epistles. God raised up another apostle. We'll talk about him next week. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for the class and just looking at these verses, how right there in our Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ, mind and heart and purpose, to guide the apostles into all truth through the coming of the Holy Spirit and to preserve that in writing so that we would have a canon of New Testament scriptures added to the canon of the Old Testament scriptures so that we might have the whole complete Bible. So, Father, help us to appreciate the book that we have and realize that the words on here are the words of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and not the words of men. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.